Good morning. Glad to be here. This is the Sunday after Thanksgiving. In the trade, we call this Associate Pastor Sunday. Okay. There are a number of them spread throughout the year. When I found out that we found out Blair was going to be assigned here, appointed here, I wanted to hear one of her sermons from First Church Dallas. And guess which one it was? It was the one between Christmas and New Year's. So, they're throughout the year, so I hope to see you again at maybe another one of these Associate Pastor Sundays. I'm always grateful for the chance to get up here and talk. This is also the first Sunday of Advent. Advent is those four Sundays before Christmas when we anticipate God coming into our lives, God breaking into our world. We celebrate and remember how God came into our world in the person of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. We've sung a lot about that already this morning. And that is kind of a re-anticipation of something that's already happened, something God has already begun doing. But we also look ahead. We look ahead to a time when, as the words of the Lord's Prayer say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We look forward to that time and anticipate that day when what God began in Jesus is brought to completion, and God's will truly is done on earth as it is in heaven. The passage that Max and Fia just read covers both of those bases. It begins talking about a shoot coming from the stump of Jesse, and then it moves forward to a time where you have lions lying with calves, wolves with lambs. If you were following along in the Pew Bible, the heading there says, "The Peaceful Kingdom." Jesse was King David's father. So when you talk about a shoot coming from the stump of Jesse, it suggests somebody in the line of David, someone like David. But this person that's described, this shoot from the stump of Jesse, is righteous and faithful. He does not see as we see or judge as we judge, but sees as God sees and judges as God judges. And when we look at that, we think of Jesus. And then we look forward. As a result of what this shoot from the stump of Jesse does, we look forward to a time when the wolf lies down with the lamb, when the leopard is with the kid, when the lion is with the calf. Notice you've got wild animals and domestic animals. You have a predator and a baby animal, right? That which is defenseless is no longer at risk. Those things that were adversaries are now companions. Those that are innocent are no longer in danger. We've called it the peaceful kingdom or the peaceable kingdom. You've probably seen some pictures painted on this theme. Edward Hicks painted a series of famous paintings on this. We've got one of those. So you've probably seen this or one very much like it. A man named Will Bullis put a more contemporary spin on it. You can see it here. It's cool. Yeah, maybe that means more to some of you than the previous picture did. I thought I'd put that in there just in case. Isaiah is also headed for something a little more subtle. If you read Genesis chapters 1 through 3 carefully, you will note that when creation was new, animals didn't eat other animals. God says, "I have given you every green plant for food." And he tells Adam and Eve they can eat anything in the garden, any fruit from any tree in the garden, except for that famous one. And in Isaiah's vision, in Isaiah's kingdom story, right, the bear grazes with the cow, and the lion eats straw like an ox. You might remember in Genesis 3 that Adam and Eve had this snake problem, right? Yeah, I just wonder what it would have been like if God had said, "Look, you can eat anything you want to in this garden, just don't eat the snake." And here we have children playing in the dens of poisonous snakes. We don't have a snake problem anymore. It is as though creation is moving to that time, or moving in that direction that God always intended for creation to be. And that's part of Isaiah's kingdom story, part of that peaceable kingdom. If we're anticipating that, that's a pretty tall order. Because when I read the newspapers and watch TV and gather up all the media, the words I hear most often are divided and polarized. We did an MYF, we did a Sunday evening in October on the election called How Would Jesus Vote? And we looked at positions from each candidate that taken from their websites, and we threw in a couple of the fact-checking websites as well for a little balance. I really felt that, well, first of all, I'm going to say we had at least two high school seniors who voted for the first time in this election, so we were very proud of them. Two-thirds of that group that were there that night will be voting in the next presidential election, which caught me by surprise a bit. But yeah, most of our youth group will be voting in the next presidential election. And me and the other adults, we felt like it was important to point out to them that this was not your typical presidential election. That previous elections had not quite been like this. And that they were entitled to expect better next time. And part of the way that happens is through their participation in the process. There was an episode of 60 Minutes right before the election. A guy named Frank Luns, a Republican pollster, had put together at 60 Minutes' request a focus group, about 25 people, who the demographics of this group basically represented the demographics of the electorate. He'd been doing this for 20 years. He'd done this through numerous presidential campaigns and off-year elections, too. He does this regularly. He said this is the first year that he's seen where about 2 minutes into the questions, people began interrupting each other, talking over each other, and within 5 minutes, the group had just decayed into chaos. He had to stop everybody, quiet them down, and start over. He said even 18 years ago when we were impeaching a president and passions were running high, people still took their turn to speak, didn't speak over other people, and listened attentively while someone else spoke. Things are different now. In elections, we have to make a choice. There's just something inherently divisive about an election because you've got to pick one or the other, right? The key has been how we come back together afterwards. The first MYF meeting of 2017 in January is going to be one I'm calling, "We have a president-elect, now what do we do?" If you're wondering what we're supposed to do, and if you're thinking it's going to take a miracle to take a divided group, a divided country, and bring it back together, if you think that's going to take a miracle, I have good news for you. This is Advent. And Advent is the time we remember and anticipate God acting in our world. And things will never be the same. Because when God came to us in the person of Jesus Christ, Jesus came to show us who God was, what God was like, and what God valued. He came into a world estranged from God, a world where what we valued was not what God valued. The things we valued were not what God valued. The people we valued were not what God valued. The goals we had set for ourselves, the direction we were headed, was not a direction God valued. And the methods we used to accomplish those goals are not methods God valued. In a lot of ways, we still live in that world. But through the love of Christ, bit by bit, person by person, we begin to build those bridges and bridge those gaps. The world is not the same. Let me tell you about Jim Daly and Ted Trimpa. Jim Daly is the president and CEO of Focus on the Family, which is a Christian ministry based in Colorado Springs, Colorado. It is theologically and politically conservative and very active in conservative political causes. Jim Daly was doing his daily radio show, and the guest on that radio show was a person who was working to protect children from human trafficking. And she had given a letter grade to every state in the U.S. on how well it protected its children from human trafficking. Colorado got a D. D is in dangerously deficient. Jim Daly felt like Focus on the Family needed to get involved with that. So he began talking to people, saying, what can Focus on the Family do to protect the children of Colorado from human traffickers? Somebody suggested to talk to a man named Ted Trimpa. Ted Trimpa is the president of the Trimpa Group, a political consulting group based in Denver. But they said, here's a warning. Ted Trimpa is gay. The Trimpa Group is very active in advocating for LGBT causes, both at a state and a national level. So this might not be a group you want Focus on the Family working with. Well, Jim Daly talked to Ted Trimpa and discovered an equal passion to his for protecting the children of Colorado from human trafficking. There was legislation introduced in the Colorado legislature, and Daly and Trimpa just divided up the legislature. Daly went after the Republicans, Trimpa went after the Democrats. And in 2015, Colorado legislature passed comprehensive legislation that closed loopholes in Colorado law that made it easier for human traffickers to operate, made it easier to bring up charges of human trafficking against people trying to exploit children, and set up a study commission to look at how Colorado was doing and to make recommendations to the legislature in the future about how to improve the law. They accomplished something else while they were working on this legislation. They developed a very close personal friendship. Jim Daly had to talk to people with Focus on the Family who said, if you're going to associate with those people, I'm not sure I want my donations going to Focus on the Family. And Jim Daly said, look, this is how we're operating. And if you really feel that strongly about it, you can keep your money. Ted Trimpa had to say to people, believe it or not, the LGBT community and the religious right have areas of common ground where we are equally passionate about improving the world we live in. And for the sake of the children of Colorado, it only makes sense for us to cooperate where we have the common ground. Now, I want to be really clear here. Jim Daly and Ted Trimpa do not agree on the definition of marriage. They know they don't agree on the definition of marriage. They let that disagreement stand. They don't try to convert the other. They don't want that disagreement to create a division. I want you to hear from them themselves, directly from them. So I've got a little video to show you. I want to set it up for you. The person on the left will be Jim Daly. The gentleman in the middle will be Ted Trimpa. This was the tail end of an interview with a conference called the Q Conference. Q, just the letter Q. It's roughly like an evangelical Christian version of the TED conferences. And so the person on the right is Gabe Lyons, who founded the Q Conferences. He is the one conducting the interview. So Jim and Ted are on the Jim and Ted are on the couch, and Gabe Lyons is in the chair next to them. So Andy, if you'd go ahead and roll that.
What I want Ted to see in our relationship is the love of Christ, certainly the truth of what I believe, and I think our friendship is strong enough that Ted can bear that, and vice versa. And I think at the end of the day, that's what the Lord will either smile about or frown upon. And I trust in that process. And I think, again, the only arsenal in the tool chest that we have in the spiritual context is the love of God. Everything else is human. The love of God is hard to defeat. And that's what I want
to
express.
I mean this very sincerely. I feel it every time I'm with you. No, I really do.
That's kind, Ted. That's the Lord.
And I realize we're almost done. I went through open heart surgery last August. It was a complete surprise. One day I thought I was fine. 3 weeks later, I was in New York under the knife. And someone who I know was always praying for me, was always checking on me, and I could feel the presence, was Jim. And that's something I'll never forget.
Wow. Well, thank you both for sharing your friendship with us. So awesome.
Jim Daly said it best. It was a little awkward, but he said, the only arsenal we have in our tool chest is the love of God. And I bring all that up because there is an alternate narrative, not an alternate, an opposing narrative to Isaiah's kingdom story of the peaceful kingdom. The Pew Survey on Religion and Public Life found a few years ago that the most common religious affiliation in the U.S. is no affiliation at all. It's not that people are hostile to religion, it's just they don't see the point. Commentators say we're moving not only into a postmodern world, but a postmodern, post-Christian world. I couldn't disagree more. We are the people called to bring the love of Christ into our relationships, not to let differences become divisions, but to enter into relationships that are motivated by the love of God and show the love of God. Nobody else does that. And lean in, because I got something important to say here. All right. We are also the ones who know what is truly at stake here. Because what's really at stake is not Republicans versus Democrats, liberals versus conservatives, Trump voters versus Clinton voters. What is truly at stake here is whether or not we are going to be our best selves or our worst selves. And I think Jim Daly would agree that the love of God leads him to be his best self, to follow the direction of Isaiah's peaceful kingdom, and to build bridges with people who are his political opposite, not just for the sake of accomplishing worthy political goals, but for the sake of mirroring the love of Christ and showing Christ's love in all his dealings. So if all this talk about wolves and lambs and leopards and kids and lions and calves are just a little too far out there, a little too abstract, okay, think of Jim Daly and Ted Trimpa. Isaiah gives us the vision. Okay. Ted Trimpa and Jim Daly give us the example. The love of Christ gives us the ability. And if you're wondering about how all this can make a hill of beans worth of difference today, remember the promise of Advent. God has come into our world, and things will never be the same.